Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Chris Miles here, cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Be able to tell you how to free up more cash today. You'll have greater quality of life, freedom, and peace of mind right now, not 20 to 30 or 40,000 years from now. So today, I want to start off this month by really going through a four-part series here. This series really being titled, Does God Want You to Be Rich? And this is one I've actually really only had in personal conversations with people, but never really publicly ever really shared this with people necessarily. And so this is something that, you know, obviously when you're talking about things that could be, talked about like religion, it could be a taboo topic. So I've kind of steered clear of that. But this one, I've realized that there's a lot of questions, a lot of misunderstandings that are in people's culture. No matter what religion you are, no matter what belief system you have, whether you have a religion or just some sort of personal belief system, is that we all have these kind of hang-ups when it comes to money. And so I had to figure I'd address it this specific way. Now, just as a reminder, make sure you go visit us at moneyripples.com. That's moneyripples.com. Check out some recent blogs we have coming up, events, all kinds of good stuff too. Definitely check out stuff, great free content there if you want to check that out. Now, let's talk about this. I want to talk about how this is going to go for the next, really the next few weeks here, because I really want to focus this over the next month. So this is about a four-part series here. And so today we're going to get more into, does God want you to be rich, and what's really behind that, and why we need money. What's the purpose of money ultimately? Next week we're going to go more into, why so many people believe that money and God are enemies, and how do we bring those two into harmony. The third week, we're going to talk about what spiritual characteristics will guarantee financial success, because there are some things that are taught that are really eternal principles that if you apply them can actually lead to financial success. And then the fourth week, we talk about how can we better serve others and become wealthy the right way. And what about concepts like retirement? How do all these other things that are taught out there today, how does it all tie together? How does it all come together here? And so we really try to bring it together at that fourth week. So this is going to be it's going to be fun. We're going to have a lot of fun with this topic, I can already tell. I know this is one that is of great interest to me as well as to many of you, as I've talked with many of you. So in any case, let's get started on that. So the real question is this. Does God want you to be rich? Does God want you to have a lot of money? My answer to that is no, he doesn't. Now, I know for those of you that you know me, this probably shocks you that I would say that. But let me explain why. I don't believe he wants you to be rich, or that he wants every person on this planet to be rich. I don't believe that at all. The reason is because if you look at, and again, from a Christian version of God, I know this can be different if you're, it's kind of similar if you're Jewish. It might be a little bit different though for those of other religions or other belief systems. But, I really believe that God is our eternal father. He's our spiritual father. We're all his sons and daughters on this planet. And as a result, because he is a good father, and I believe that he is righteous, that he really does, know all things. He's all powerful. He's all loving. And wants the best thing for his children on this planet. And if you think about it, there's been different types of parenting styles that have come out in recent years. For example, helicopter parenting has become a more popular style, where the parents will constantly always be overly involved in their kids' lives and almost protecting them from experiences and having, failure. A lot of times the parents will step in and they're like a helicopter. They're always around. They're always hovering, just constantly in the kids' way of progression and growth. I believe that's a really bad way to parent, and I also believe that's a bad way too if you look at Heavenly Father. And I'm sure that if you look at someone who is all-knowing and is perfect, as a perfect parent would not want to do the same thing for us. So does he want all of us to have a lot of money? The answer is no, of course not. There's a guy that was in this valley. He said that, can a people be blessed with too much money? He said, yeah, I believe they can. But this is what he said. He's like, but can you bless a wise person with too much money? And the answer to that was, I don't know if you could. And I think that's the purpose, is that, God, because he wants us to grow and become, more like him and to become, to do as he would have us do. what I've realized, and this is my own personal belief system, you could take it for however it is, but I truly believe that, no, he does not want us to be rich, but he does want us to learn to be wise stewards and learn how to use that money for good, learn how to grow and to be able to be good stewards of that money. Now, when I talk about stewardship, many of you have heard me talk about stewardship on and off before. Let me talk deeper about what I mean by that. You know, stewardship is the ability of how you're able to create increase. How are you able to be not just responsible, but how can you become a creator? How can you be somebody who creates more with what you're given? Can you take raw materials and make and create something better with it? You know, and that could be so, that could be made with your hands, that could be made with your mind, but it could be made in different ways. Is how are you a creator? How are you able to create more and make something better because you touched it? That is a wise steward. Someone who's a poor steward, they're more of a consumer. Whatever they touch tends to disappear, right? Or it tends to become worse. It tends to become less, not better. You think about, like, a lot of times people are very much in that consumer mentality, not just from a standpoint what I was talking about before with being a spender or a saver, although that's very much tied in with the same thing. But a lot of times people are in this consumption mindset of just consuming things and just leaving it for trash. You know, and I'm not just talking about recycling, although you could probably include that in there too. But I'm talking about, like, how are you able to take something and create and make something better with it? So those of you that are of the Christian faith, you probably have read in the New Testament, there's a story called the Parable of the Talents. And in this parable, in the Parable of the Talents, there were three servants. So this is a story that Jesus Christ had taught. And so this is not a true story, but this is a story that he taught to illustrate this point. And in this, there's a master. The master sent out three servants to go and produce more with what he gave them. He gave them each a certain sum of money. Those sums of money are called talents. So it's not a completely described amount of how much money that was, but basically imagine like one talent being like a little sack of gold, okay, or a sack of coinage. So he sends each of these men out with different amounts of talents or these bags of money. One person was given five, so he's given five bags of talent. The other was given two. And the third one was given one. So one was given five, one was given two, the other was given one. After a certain amount of time, he has a time, what they call a time of reckoning, where he tells them to come back and kind of return a report to see how they did. And as they came back, the one with five came back with five more talents for a total of 10. Now, when he came back, the master said, "You know, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I made you a steward over a few things. Now I'll make you a ruler over many. Come and enjoy my kingdom." I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit, but that's pretty much what he says. The person with two came back with two more, and he said the same exact reward. I think it's interesting and very important to point out that the person that had five and the person that came back with five and the person that came back with two got the same exact reward as each other. It didn't matter. It wasn't a contest to see who came back with more. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like this was like The Apprentice or something like that, where you're in this reality show competition to see who comes back the most. No, he says, "Nope, you come in as well. You get all. I made you a steward over a few things, and I'll now make you a ruler over many because you were able to create more with it." They both receive the same exact reward. Now, the person that had one, he came back and brought back his one. He brought back all the money that he was given. You know, he didn't lose anything. He brought it all back. And as he brought it back, the master said, "What's this?" Right? And he said, "Well, I know you're a hard master, and you reap where you don't sow, and so basically, you know, I want to make sure out of fear, I buried it to make sure I can give it back to you. So here you go." Now the master was obviously not very happy about this. He said, "Hey, you knew what I required of you. You knew who I was and what I asked for, and you didn't go do it. Get out of here. In fact, I'm going to take that talent, that bag of money, and I'm going to go give that to the guy that made 10. And he did. And he cast the guy out with one. Now, some people might think that's a little bit unfair because, hey, at least the guy didn't lose the money. But that's not the point of the whole story here. The point of the story is, what do you do with what you're given? This is not just dealing with money, although that's kind of where the topic is focused here. This is dealing with everything. What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your body? How are you using your body to serve others? What are you doing with even just their relationships and the people around you? How are you edifying and increasing and strengthening those? You know, what are you doing to increase your education? What are you doing to increase your talents and your gifts? What are you doing to increase the amount of value you create in this world? And so even in that standpoint, when we look at from that angle, we see that in reality that the Lord, what he was requiring, the master was requiring of them, was to create more. And that's what I truly believe is what our purpose is here on this earth. You know, no matter what, you know, what your religious faith is, I think most of us would probably agree that we are here to make the world a better place than the way we found it. We are here to be able to touch people's lives, to show that love, to be able to bring blessings into people's lives and be able to bring real value to people. I really believe truly that that's what we're here to do. And we're here to learn and grow and to help develop those relationships with us, because the reality is that no matter what your belief system is that the money aspect itself, we can't take it with us. But we can take back with us the experiences that we gain, as well as the relationships and the people that we serve. You know, those kind of things, the real legacy that we're able to leave is the true stewardship that we have with when it comes to money. And so that's where I feel the real meaning of money. It's interesting that the two things we have control of in this life are the two things that really don't matter in the grand scheme of things. It's money and time, right? I mean, if you think about it, we don't bring money with us. Obviously, the pharaohs of Egypt thought that, and all they got was a bunch of tomb robbers, right? We know that we can't bring money with us. We know also that time is a commodity that's very precious, and once it's gone, it's gone. But we can do what we can do with what we were given. And I believe that's really that when it comes to the true meaning of money, is that money is not just something to increase purely for the sake of having more money. Because what's the whole purpose of trying to accumulate a bunch of money to then never use it? And I think that's the real key here, is when you look at stewardship, when it comes to the standpoint of money, is that money is meant to be used. Money is meant to be used, and it's meant to be used to serve others. If you remember our show from several weeks back, we talked about this, is where there's the abundance and the scarcity mindset. In scarcity, you tend to value things as having value. You value homes, you value vehicles, you value stuff, you value everything. You know, you put a value on it. There's a, you know, even your savings in retirement, you have a value to it. But that's not the true asset. The true asset is you and the people around you. In fact, if you look at what's really the cause of money, where does money even come from in the first place? You know, I hope many people don't realize this, but you know, money was just purely invented to make it easier for us to exchange with one another. You know, and even if we, this is the thing that's crazy to me is, and I don't want to go on too many tangents because I could really go off on a lot of them. But, you know, a lot of times people will ask me about things like Bitcoin, right? Like, what do you think about using Bitcoin now? Or what do you think about using gold and silver? Or what about using money in general? You know, or just, you know, what about the U.S. dollar? Is it going to go under? Should we use the euro instead? Or should we go for the Chinese currency or the dinar in Saudi Arabia and things like that? And I just tell them, like, you know, you just don't understand money. You have to understand that money is just a tool of exchange. It's just something to make it easier. You know, it doesn't matter if it's Bitcoin or a rock or a clamshell. As long as somebody can accept a certain amount of value to it, that's all that matters. And the reality is that, who knows, we could have the entire world financial system collapse, and we'll be bartering and trading. It's still based on value. If you look beyond the money, if you don't look at money as being the end, but more as just an expression of what's really there, which is value and production and stewardship, you'll begin to realize that money is truly not, really isn't anything. It's just, you know, a physical, tangible representation of something much more meaningful. And so is money bad? No, absolutely not. Money is not evil. You know, we talk about the money, you know, some people talk about the money being the root of all evil. Obviously, we know it's the love of money. Many people have started to clarify that. I'm going to go deeper into that next week, but because there's a lot more to that than even then, because even those that believe that it's still interpreted as the love of money, which is what it literally says in the New Testament of the Bible, the love of money is the root of all evil, I would actually want to clarify that further, because that still caused a lot of people to have hiccups. In fact, what I've noticed is that very often people that are Christian have the hardest time being able to make money, because there are a lot of dilemmas around this. And I think it's because we've lost sight of what money really is. is that if we look at it as being a stewardship, and that it's actually our sacred duty to make more money. Let me repeat that. It is our sacred duty to make more money. Because what is money? You know, what does it really represent? Like I mentioned, it's value in production. When you work a job, for example, you know, the reason you get paid is because they believe that you're more the money that they're paying you is less valuable than the position or the job or the work that you're doing. Nobody will ever pay you more than what they think you're worth, even the U.S. government. Although that's a good example of poor stewardship, if anything, right? But in reality, we're being paid less than what the other person believes that we're worth. They believe that the money they're giving us is of less value than what the time we're offering or the skills and the talents that we're bringing to the table. Now, remember on the flip side, you're accepting that money because you believe your time is worth less than the money you're taking. And the only reason we're willing to take money at a certain place is because we say, you know what, I think that's a good representation of my value. But whatever you're paid is not what you're really worth. You have to understand that, is that you're not worth what you're paid. You're worth less in your own mind than what you're paid, or you would never take the pay. For example, if you believe that $15 an hour was way beneath you, you would never take it, right? Unless circumstances said you had to. You know, but for somebody else, they might say $15 an hour is amazing, and they would more than willing to take that. And they think that their time is worth less than that money. They're more willing to have that money than have that free time. And so there's a whole principle of exchange there. Money is meant to be exchanged. Money is meant to be used. It's not meant to be blown from a spender perspective, because then it's gone. You're not increasing stewardship. You're actually decreasing it. You're consuming, not creating. On the flip side, if you're a saver type of mentality or even a hoarder, that will money will rust and canker your soul, plain and simple. If you believe that there's true value in money and you have to keep accumulating it, you've lost the sight of the real purpose of money. And as a result, if you do believe in God and you believe or believe in the laws of the universe or whatever you believe in, you will not receive more money if you're a hoarder. You will get money, you will hoard it, but you will severely limit your ability and capacity to be able to create more money. You cannot be a creator and just save. This is why I say savers and spenders are in a scarcity mentality, but stewards are creators and they're more in the abundance mentality. You got to look at it from a standpoint of how money is meant to be used. For some of you, it's to be used more wisely if you're a spender. For others of you, the way you have to look at it is being able to let it go and use it in a way that's productive. How do you increase more? And we'll go into this more in depth as the weeks go on, but I want you to really understand like how that really works. In fact, I'm going to show this story anyways. I'm going to bring this back up in week four. But this is a story by, again, another pioneer here in Utah. Great. He had some great economics lessons. So here's the way I see it. Here's the way I see money to be used. So he uses the example of a farmer. You know, this farmer goes out, he has a farm, and after several years, he decides to sell this farm for about $150,000. Now understand that it actually is an indescribed amount of money. We'll assume it's right around $150,000. Now understand that when he said this is back in 1853, right when they're settling Utah, and he was talking about how to make Utah prosperous. He said, hey, here's how we go about doing this. Now, $150,000, if you use the equivalent of that, that's like making about $5, $6 million in today's dollars. Now, if you were in that person's shoes, that farmer's shoes, and maybe not you, but just think of Americans in general. If you had a $5 or $6 million fall into your lap, would you say, you know what, I could retire at this point? Many of you might think, yeah, that would be a great retirement. Oh, my goodness, I could – put that in the bank or put that in some fund. You'll live off the interest, and man, that would be amazing, right? And reasonably so, you could live off that money. For most of you, that's pretty possible. Even at 3%, like they tell you to only pull out 3% of your money, hey, 3% of $5 million is $150,000 a year. That's not bad. That's not too shabby. But that's not what this guy did. Because he was a steward, he said, no, I'm not going to stop there. I'm actually going to go and I'm actually going to create a wool factory. So with all the sheep out in the valley, he's like, I'm going to create a wool factory here. I'm going to hire dozens, if not hundreds, of employees and workers to help out. And this is when everybody was moving out west in the U.S. Everybody was settling. There's a lot of immigrants. A lot of them that had no work, no ways of providing for their families. This is the point he was making, saying, hey, he's providing valuable jobs for people that are looking for work, the ways to provide their families. And essentially, we're able to feed and clothe the poor through our industry, through our companies they're creating. That's a whole other topic we can get into, too. But he's able to create it from that. So he does. He has this wool factory, very prosperous, creating great cash flow, great living for him and for those that he has employed there. So everybody's becoming more wealthy. Notice this. The one key principle you have to understand is that exchange creates wealth. So the exchange of money, people are all able to become wealthier. Just like when the internet became invented, it increased our rate of exchange with one another. We were able to buy things 24/7. Money's able to change hands faster. And all of a sudden, people became more prosperous without many more money needing to be printed. It's just because of the speed at which money was being exchanged. Exchange creates wealth. So now he's able to create wealth and be able to provide for dozens, if not hundreds, of workers as well as himself. Now, after about 5 or 10 years in this story, then all of a sudden, men from California who found their fortune in gold, right? Because remember, the gold rush was just a few years before this. They came out here and they said, listen, you've got a beautiful place. You've got a working business that's making money. This is a real valuable service. We've got basically useless coins and rocks. We have money. And money is useless in and of itself, right? Unless it's put to use. And so they say, hey, let us pay you $500,000 with this money. And so the guy accepted. He sold off his factory for $500,000. Now, the equivalent of that today is over $26 million. Now, how many of you would say, all right, I'm done. $26 million, I don't think I need to work anymore, right? Some of you stopped at $5 or $6 million. Now we're up to about $26 million, right? Now, this guy didn't stop there. He went and did it again. This time his goal was to employ hundreds of people and to do the same thing and make it even more prosperous. And the story ends there. But I love that story and how it's illustrated because I really truly believe that that is the way that God wants us to become rich. It's for us to take what we have, everything that we've been given, our time, our talents, our money, all the experiences that we have and the relationships that we have, and taking all these things, taking our physical health and everything we have, and put it to productive use to serve our own spiritual brothers and sisters on this planet. We are here to serve others. We are here to become wealthy through that service. The great thing is they're not mutually exclusive, and we're going to be getting into that quite a bit in the next couple weeks too. But they don't have to be mutually exclusive, that they work together. That if we look at everything, if we look at everything with our money as a stewardship, if we look at it as a way of how are we able to use our money in a way that provides value. And the great thing is we provide value because here's this amazing. Another principle is, as you've heard me say time and time again, is that dollars follow value. When we provide value for people, an easy way to exchange is to exchange dollars for that value that you offer. Just like what happened to this guy with his wool factory, right? He went from his farm to his wool factory. He kept going. He kept trying to figure out how he can make things bigger and better. How can he keep increasing his stewardship? Now, I'm not saying you have to increase your stewardship to where you're making 26, you sell something off, a company off for $26 million or more. That doesn't have to be your path. But your path is just like the parable of talents, right? Whether you're given five, whether you're given two, or whether you're given one, the goal is how can you increase more? How can you increase it twofold, three, five, ten, a hundredfold, or even more? How can you make it better? And when you do it this way, this is when it starts to align. This is when things become better because you start to realize that you have a stewardship. You have all these gifts and abilities. You've got this time. You've got your physical health. You've got this money. No matter how much or how little you think you have all of these things that can be turned around and used in a way that serves people. And when you focus on how you can serve people and things that they want and what really truly to serve them, what you'll see is it's very easy to make more money. It's easier to become wealthy and become rich. And I truly believe that you become rich the right way, that it happens that way. So if there's anything you remember from today, is I want you to really ponder over this next week, is how am I as a steward? What am I doing to increase my stewardship? What can I do to become a better steward? And look at it from that standpoint. Look at it from how you're able to use that and serve. Because if you're still looking for things from scarcity, if you're still looking as a spender or a saver, it's going to be really, really difficult to make more money. You have to switch that. You got to look at in the middles. How do I not blow my money, but how do I use my money in a way that's more productive? And the great thing is we're going to talk more about that over these next few weeks, but I want you specifically to really look at that. And that's the message behind Money Ripples. That's what we teach here, is that we want you to become better stewards. Yeah, we teach you financial strategies, but you know what? Financial strategies are useless unless you are a good steward. You've got to have the proper foundation first, and especially if you are at a place where you have that debate about does God want to be rich or not, what's my calling in life, all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, your calling in life is to become a better steward, no matter who you are and no matter what your circumstances are. That's the real message behind Money Ripples and how we can best go out and make more money. So as I said, this is Chris Miles here, cash flow expert and the financial advocate of the entrepreneur, telling you this week to go out, be prosperous, to be productive, to be and go out and create freedom and a better quality of life today and in the future. Goodbye, everyone.